Hey everybody, welcome to Big Fight Feel, a Joshi Pro Wrest podcast. I'm James, and I'm here with Sprite. Welcome back, dude.
Good to be back.
Yeah, it's been a while, ain't it? It's been quite a little bit of time.
Yeah, a whole 8-9 months we were stuck in Japan.
But we're back. If you guys didn't see the last episode, which was last year, me and Sprite ended up going to Japan, and it was a good time. It was really good, actually. We went to a bunch of different stuff. I'll probably make a show about that separately from this, but today we're going to be talking about the 5-star Grand Prix that's coming up for Stardom, and Tokyo Princess Cup 7's coming up here for Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling, and Wave is doing Catch the Wave, and they did something really different this year, so we'll talk about that a little bit. I don't think they have announced anybody for that one just yet, but we'll talk about what it all means and all that later on in the show. Of course, we have our 2019 Big Fight Feel Awards that I wanted to make sure everyone got enough time to think about who they were voting for. So if you guys want to vote for those, you can check the description of this podcast and you'll find that there. There's a link there and you can vote on who you think should be the winner for things like Wrestler of the Year, Match of the Year, Card of the Year, Rookie of the Year, a lot of things. And remember, this is for 2019. So do not be blinded by your 2020 vision because we're going back in time to 2019. So be sure when you're voting to remember that. Also, of course, last year we did the 5-star Grand Prix Pick'ems. We are doing those again this year. This show should be up in time if you happen to catch it early enough to where you can participate if you haven't already seen it on Twitter or on Discord. There will also be a link in the podcast description for that. All you have to do is go up there, clickety-clack, put your username, and then pick who you want to, I guess, win all the matches. You know, who you think is going to win this whole damn thing. And that's what we're about to talk about right now. So let's talk about the 5-star Grand Prix. You were here for the predictions and the review last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about all of those. I think the review episode was actually one of our most listened to ever. I think that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at that right before we went live, actually. That was pretty cool to see that. So this year, it's crazy looking at this because this is just, there's so many people that weren't here last year.
It's just a lot of like first timers this year, actually.
Yes, this entire card, the whole thing is different. I remember last year you told me that 2018 Stardom didn't look like 2019 Stardom, and now we're here again, and 2020 Stardom doesn't look anything like 2019 Stardom.
It's drastically different through various circumstances, some more unfortunate than others.
Last year's 2019 5-star finals were Hana Kimura versus Konami, which I actually listened back to our review of the 5-star from last year. And I don't think I was particularly big on that match. I don't think it was a bad match or anything. I just thought it was, compared to some of the other matches that were in the tournament, I wasn't sure if it was exactly what I expected. But I have to say this much. Throughout 2019 going into this year, Konami definitely feels like a step above most of the people on the roster, especially in her presentation. I feel like beginning of the year Konami last year compared to right now, I feel like she has a bigger presentation, I guess is a good way to put it. I feel like she had a pretty big 2019, even if I guess she was, I don't want to say bridesmaid for most of the year, but I mean, that was kind of what she kind of got to the big stage, but never really got anything too big. But I feel like her presentation has just gone through the roof.
Yeah, I think a lot of the Tokyo Cyber Squad influence with Kyona and Hana definitely helped her. Like, I know one of the biggest complaints that people had with her was that she had like this really weak and non-existent character, which I didn't really agree with, but I could see how So could see that. But I think, at least from the middle of 2019 to the end of 2019, she really amped up, especially during her chase for the white belt against Ariza Hoshiki. Like, everybody's seeing her, like, more, like, weird side, if that's what you could call it. Like, licking the belt, calling her out, and all that.
She went back to being barefoot!
For, like, one show.
Good enough. Yeah, dude, Ariza's white belt reign last year was pretty crazy. I feel like a lot of her matches last year were like some of my favorite on the card whenever she had them, period. But she did really good.
Yeah. Like the Stardom show we went to, the year-end climax. So I don't know if I think we had a different opinion. I think you like the red belt match more than, but I think I like the white belt match more than compared to it. But that's mainly because I've seen Mike get to like a million times.
Yeah, that's true. But they did go crazy. So I mean, the year in climax was,
they
went
crazy, but like compared to their other matches, it wasn't as crazy as I wanted it to be. So it definitely wasn't lived up to my expectation, but it was still very good.
Yeah, I thought that card was, man, that was just a really good card all around. And I'm glad we got to see it live, too, because that was awesome. And basically, yeah. Hazuki just said, fuck Stardom. So that was really cool, too. That was good stuff.
Yeah, well, over the tie right now are saying fuck Stardom as well. So
they are. Yeah, I was seeing that recently on Twitter. I love those posts. I retweet any of them that say that. That's awesome. Yeah, wow. They've changed a lot, too, haven't they? Ototai's just completely different than they were before, too.
Yeah, they had, like, so many big changes. Like, Hazuki retired, Kagetsu retired. They had to completely overhaul their entire unit. They're a different entity from what they were the previous years. They're like, they're almost a pure heels at this point.
Yeah, isn't that weird? You know, I was watching, I'm still catching up right now on everything. I think it was the first Shinkiba show they did when they first came back. That was, when was it? June? When did they come back?
Yeah, June.
Yeah, so June. It was the first Shinkiba show, and I was watching, I think it was Natsuko versus Konami, actually.
Yeah,
and it was just a straight-up disqualification. I was like, oh. Just straight-up chained her and then got DQ'd. I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty interesting. Natsuko is definitely different than she was before. She just showed up with chains. She just said, hello.
Yeah, she's definitely going all in on the heel persona. Like, the best comparison I can make is Ozaki Gun from Oz Academy. Like, they're just pure heels, like, weapons, interference, all that. I think it's a needed change for them because they needed, like, a different identity what they had, because what their old identity was, like, kind of goofy, I don't care, I just don't care about the rest of the units, and it was just, like, a lost identity, like, as the year went on. They just needed something to really reinvigorate them, and I think this is what they needed.
Thinking about them right now, Natsu's not in the 5-star, is she?
No, I think the reason for that is because she took, like, other bookings during the 5-star, so she actually couldn't. Yeah, she was like Actress Girls, she's doing a wave show. I can't remember all the bookings, but yeah, she's definitely taken other bookings, so that's probably why she couldn't appear in a 5-star this time. But
I remember her last year having a really good 5-star. I remember talking about her. I think she was trying to prove herself a little bit, like she had a chip on her shoulder going into it. Because I think Hannah's thing was like, you are a joke wrestler.
Yeah, pretty much. And then I think she was doing that Toriano run from a few years ago in the G1 Climax, where it's trying to wrestle more seriously, so the people won't take it as a joke. And I think it really worked for her because she felt almost like a babyface her entire run, especially against that, in that Hannah match. She was like, Hannah was like a pure heel in that match. Natsu was like the underdog babyface that you wanted to root for to win that.
Which is weird, right? Because she usually always plays up top. So that is it. She's actually really good underneath too. I think she's deceivingly good. I think people kind of take what she does for granted, but man, she is actually really, really good. I understand her taking other bookings and I get it, but man, I would have loved to see her kind of mix it up with some, especially some of the newer people too. Because from what I saw, they still had her kind of doing the opening stuff with Rina and Hina and stuff. I don't know if she had any higher profile stuff because, like I said, I'm still catching up. So. Do you know if she had any more higher profile stuff, or she's still kind of just gatekeeping a little bit?
Her last higher profile stuff was a 6-man tag match against Donna Del Mondo for the Artist Belts in the Osaka show a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay. All right. Good deal. So we're looking at this. We got Blue Stars and we got Red Stars this year. Blue Stars, we got Momo, Utami, Kiyona, Azumi, Natsuko, Saki, Shuri, and Micah. Micah's kind of gotten crazy, hasn't she? She's got, what, 2 belts right now?
Yeah, she's got the future belt, which was vacated by Utami, I think, in February, after the her defense against Sayaka Tani. And the mic match versus Saya, Tall Saya and Giant Saya was really good. It was a weird format that I wasn't used to. It was like, I think someone described it similar to wave rules for triple threats. It's where two people in the ring, you pin someone, they get out, then someone else comes in, and then they have a match, and then it goes on and goes on until someone gets 2 in a row. But it was a really good match, I think.
Those rules are great. Oh my god, just thinking about that. They're going to go by those rules for the catch the wave?
Yeah, that's how they pretty much go for every wave triple threat.
Oh my god, that's going to take forever. Those matches are going forever. Oh, yeah, so Micah hasn't even... Well, she's been wrestling for like a year, right? She made her pro debut about a year ago?
Yeah, wow. Pretty much. She has like under maybe 50 matches. So, and she's insanely good. She's a prodigy, I'd say.
I think it's a very obvious comparison to start comparing her to Tommy a little bit, especially since they've kind of mixed it up a few different times. But man, I think she's in that same stage where Tommy was at probably around the same time that she was into her career a little bit, where she has to kind of fit, you know, the future for her is figuring out what exactly she is, what she provides. You know, I feel like technician wise, she's actually really good. I think she picked up on the mat work really well, really quick. Mat work is not easy. And like being able to pick up on that so quickly is really crazy.
Taka Michinoku is a genius, basically.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't, he must have really like, you know, put her into the training, because damn, it's honestly incredible. And it's crazy talking like that when you have people also in Donna Del Mondo, like, you know, Shuri, who is also just absolutely fantastic too. This group is actually pretty insane on paper. And even when you're just looking at them, they're pretty insane. When they first started this group, you know, it looked like Andras is going to be in it. You know, it's going to be a little different than it is right now. Wow. This group is like insane. Do you think that 2020 is going to, like the rest of 2020 is just going to be Donna Del Mondo?
Definitely. Julia's has the rocket strapped on the back. She's going to the moon and she's not coming back. Himika has a huge ceiling for her. Shuri, she was predicted at the start of the year to be like the one to watch in Joshi. She's going to be the one taking over everything, but then She came to stardom!
Like, yeah,
pretty much. So she's still doing her other bookings, but it looks like it's like slowing down a bit, especially with the fives are coming up. And Micah definitely has like super high potential.
Yeah, I think being around Shuri is going to be really good for Micah. I think just being around her is going to be, I mean, just by association, watching her matches, being in her matches, you can learn a lot from Shuri. She's absolutely fantastic. Julia has, wow, you're right when you say that she got the moon shoes, man. She got the rocket on her. They started pushing her and they did not stop whatsoever. I remember we saw the match versus Hannah. I think you weren't super big on it. It was like that brawl match I think they had.
Yeah, it's because I'm not super big on like matches where they find the crowd, especially if it's in a live setting, because then it's hard to see everything. If I watched it on tape, I probably would have liked it more, but...
You're not a Stan Hansen guy, dude?
Yeah, Stan Hansen matches are great, but like I said, if it's live, I can't really see what's happening, so it's hard to appreciate it.
So you wouldn't say that Julia is the next Stan Hansen?
I would not, especially when you have Himika in your group.
Yeah, I don't think most people would say that. But yeah, Himika she was like, well, the first at-rest show that I went to I even saw, period... was when we went to Japan, and she caught my eye immediately, man.
Yeah, you just like fell in love with her style completely. I saw your face when you're at the show. You were just entranced by her.
Dude, it's so different. It's like her and Giant Saya does the same shit, you know, where it's like completely different than most people on the card. And I don't know, man, there's just something about that that's dope. I think Miyuki that's why I like the beginning so much. Just because they just wrestle like, first off, Miyuki wrestles like she's fucking Goldberg. So like that's
she's
really
like
cool.
She's really small and she's wrestling like these big lariats, like taking everyone down. It's crazy. I love her.
I actually kind of wish that Jumbo had stayed behind for like another year or so, just because I feel like they were both, oh my God, I feel like they, you know, I had watched some older tapes and then going into the end of 2019, they're like completely different than they were before. Like within a year's time, like they had just improved so much. But seeing them together and learning, I'm sure they learned from each other. And like I sort of wish Jumbo stuck around at-rest, because I feel like, you know, I had just gotten into at-rest and I started watching them, like, oh my God, like they have a lot running right now. You know what I mean? Like they're starting to really gain some steam underneath them and really starting to go places. So I was pretty surprised. I know that I saw that Jumbo had become a free agent, and I was actually kind of surprised that she didn't want to stick around at-rest. I'm not sure the reasons why. I don't know if you read anything, or maybe she just wanted to go somewhere else. Or
I think she wants to spread her wings a bit, but like from what I could tell, Stardom was not her first choice. She was convinced to join Stardom by Julia because they have like this kind of friendship when they teamed a while back. So I think Himika was planning on going like like ice ribbon or something, but then Julia came in and said, hey, come join me in Stardom.
Blue Stars has a lot of crazy matchups here. I was looking through here, and maybe it's because we've spent so much time not seeing them wrestle. It was like, what, 3 or 4 months? It was a pretty long time where they really weren't doing anything. I feel like they're all kind of... I'm excited just for the matchups themselves, especially because they have Shuri and Momo in this bracket. I'm actually kind of excited to see what Jungle and Izumi do. I feel like Izumi has gotten just ridiculous. I feel like I say that all the time. I feel like I say that every time I talk about her, like, oh my God, she's just gotten so good. She's always been really good, definitely. But she just gets so much better.
Especially during these like tournaments, like last year, the 5-star, she surprised everyone by like how many wins she actually picked up.
Yeah, I think most people when we were predicting them were like, they had her on like the bottom of the list, you know, like she would like take people to good matches, but she wouldn't really, you know, go all the way. She's
definitely stepping it up. And I think next year, I think she's graduating from high school. So
here it goes.
Focus on her. She's going to become a full-time. Well, she's basically full-time already, but like she's definitely like a lot of potential. I think, so you've seen the results about her winning the high speed, right?
Yes, I did see that. I'm guessing they ditched the high speed tournament because of the COVID thing, right?
Izumi won the high speed belt, so that's her first singles title like in Stardom. Long awaited, like she really like was made for that belt, if you know what I mean.
And oh, absolutely, I agree.
And I think in a recent interview, she said that she wanted to defend the belt against people outside of Stardom, and I'm not sure if that will actually happen, but if it does, that's something I really want to see, because I think she can learn a lot from like wrestling not in Stardom, because she's been wrestling for Stardom for like so long. She's the second or third longest tenured person on the roster as well.
When she start, when she was like 12 or something?
11. No, she started training when she was like 9, I think, and actually wrestling when she was 11.
That's just nuts.
Yeah, because like I really want to see Izumi like actually branch out more, see wrestle from, you know, outside of Stardom. Like the Kagetsu retirement show, she wrestled Mei Suruga and Kaho Kabuyashi. It was just really great to see. Like she and Mei like really worked well together, and they did this brat thing against Kaho, and it was great.
Kaho is pretty underrated too, man. I feel like not enough people talk about her. She's really good too. Kagetsu and Mei was fun too. I like that matchup too. Kagetsu had a lot of stuff, a lot of fun stuff on her retirement tour.
Her retirement tour was like better than most of her Stardom run.
I mean, I ain't gonna say you're wrong. I mean, Izumi she came in with the new attire and everything, right? And I thought that looked really dope. I thought she just looks like she looks like she's taking it a lot more serious now. Do you think they're gonna give her the kind of Momo situation where Momo graduated, went full time, and then they just kind of put the boots on her?
I'm not sure if they will, because while Izumi exists, there's also Starlight Kid, who's pretty much the golden child for Stardom in terms of like their younger generation. So I don't know if they'll ever push Izumi that far ahead while Starlight Kid is there, but I think she'll still be higher up, especially considering how talented she is.
Yeah, that's true. And you bring up a good point with the Starlight Kid thing. You think they're going to be a parallel for their entire careers? Do you think that drives Izumi out of Stardom?
I think Izumi will leave Stardom at some point, just because I think she has higher aspirations than just being in Stardom. I think she wants to wrestle everyone at this point.
Yeah, you mentioned her bringing in people for the high speed. Dude, you could make probably 4 pages of people right now that would be more interesting for Izumi to face than people in Stardom. And that's not like a sly anyone in Stardom. It's just there's so many people that she could go and just have crazy matchups with, you know? I feel like maybe with the way that they're treating freelancers right now and the way that they're bringing people in and out of Stardom, I don't know, maybe they can. I mean, maybe things are a little bit different. I don't really know how Bushiroad Stardom really operates in that way. I would assume that anyone they bring in would want to sign, you know what I mean? But why not, you know?
Yeah, there's that relationship with Marvelous that we haven't seen much of recently, but apparently it's still there. They definitely have a lot of high speed in there.
Did you like that Takumi and Mayu match? I thought that was crazy. I thought that match was absolutely insane.
I liked it, but there are some parts of it that were like kind of hokey, but I did really enjoy that match.
Yeah, I thought they worked their ass off. That was it was fun. You know, it's not a matchup you get to see a lot of the time, and they gave it time, and it was cool. I really Thought that was dope. Looking at the blue stars still right here, Saki Kashima is somebody that, what's going on with her? Because, you know, we saw when she, if you want to say, turned heel, right?
Yeah.
But then I watched the Shinkiba show and she just lost straight up to Death Yamazan. Just straight up.
I just don't know what they're doing with Saki. Like, she had this really great match against Mayu at No People Gate, and then...
That was so fun. That match was awesome. By the way, I think it was even more awesome because we were watching it with everybody. I think. By the way, if you guys want to bring the live shows through, I feel like you probably have the infrastructure now, so maybe look into that.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, after that match, her momentum just went straight into the toilet somehow.
Which is like, weird, right?
Like, she got some of it back during the return shows in June. Like, she got the first pin on Julia, like, in Stardom. And then...
Yeah, you're right.
And then she just backed down to where she was. So I just think they don't know what they're doing in the weather tie. Even though they've got this like new identity that they really needed, I think they're still kind of lost on what to do with them.
Yeah, it definitely feels that way. I mean, even looking at Natsuko in a way, I feel like she has an idea of what she wants to do, but it doesn't feel like the booking is backing her up on it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's something they're definitely have to look into because I think a lot, you know, they have the match coming up here with, is it the, I think it's only TCS disbands if they lose, right? Or is it both?
I'm not sure if it's like an official like stipulation, but it's implied that if TCS lose, then they disband.
And not the other way around, just TCS.
Yeah, just TCS.
Who the hell would accept that stipulation?
Konami did it.
That is really weird.
Jungle Kyoto was like, oh, I don't want to accept this, I don't want to accept this. And then Konami went like, we accept it. I'll win this match for us.
Hey, man, like I said, Konami's in a whole different space than she was before. So I trusted her decision to do that. So we'll see what happens, I guess, with that one coming up. Do you think that they're going
to
lose?
It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, it's up in the air. Makes for an interesting match.
Yeah, the thing the public consensus is that Konami's turning on Kyoto and joining her with a tie.
Oh, whoa. That would be pretty. Hey, that'd be pretty interesting.
That'd be interesting, but that's personally not what I want to see. Because I think I've much needed this forward. Like,
they work together well.
Yeah, they work together well. And as a whole, I do want them to keep TS around because, like, it's kind of like a memorial to, like, Hannah. Because, like, people say that TCS was Hannah, but I think it was actually just more of, like, her ideals in wrestling. I think it's better if they keep that around just so that they can push this, like, everyone can be a wrestler, everyone could be, everyone is equal and all that.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it, honestly. In Blue Stars, what do you, like, what matches were you looking up for?
There's a lot of good matches. Momo Shuri is definitely one of the big matches I want to see.
I remember saying I was ready for that match like damn near 3 months ago. I'm still ready for that match.
They've been building that match so much. It's going to be a really exciting match to see. It's going to be a lot of kicks.
You think that goes to a draw?
I'm not sure if it goes to a draw.
You think Momo just loses? It feels like Momo just... It feels like they're on like a... I don't want to say, she's just on the other end. You know, she had a very, very long white belt run. She was double champ for a while. It just, you know, you kind of just make your rotations on bookings every once in a while. It kind of feels like she's on like a downswing, you know, right now. Do you think that she just maybe straight up loses to Shuri?
I don't think she's on a downswing anymore. I think lately, especially since the return shows, they've definitely been pushing the Momo Mayu feud a bit more. Like, they've been getting into each other's faces a lot more, especially in matches. I think Momo is probably winning against Shuri and probably taking the block.
Really? Okay. I mean, I'm huge on Momo, so I think her winning the block would be really, really cool. Of course, I think blue block winner should be Jungle Kyoto, but that's a whole nother story. You know what I mean? That's a whole nother story there. Yeah, I mean, there's, like I said, the matchups look really, really dope. I think that Momo facing anyone in this group right now, I think Momo and Micah would be really fun. I think that's going to be pretty cool. Kyoto and Utami.
Actually just had that match in the last Korakuen.
Oh, did they? I had to check it out.
Yeah.
I'm still on the catch up here, so.
You need to catch up before the five star starts.
I know, dude, like the same year as last year. Oh, that sucks. Kyoto and Utami, of course, always. I will always be here for that matchup. That's like my type of my type of matchup is just beating the straight piss out of each other. And I feel like that's what they do every, like, I just, if the match starts off with a double shoulder tackle, then I'm here for this match. You know what I mean? Like, that's my favorite maybe starting point ever. in wrestling, or if someone just rushes at somebody and just does a moves. That's like two of my favorite things, and Kiona does them both all the time. So I really like that. But like I said, sleepers in here would be, I think Izumi is going to get, I think again, she's going to get played up pretty well this year. It's weird because like I said, Natsuko's got this presentation and this feel, but I don't know how many wins she actually gets here.
Yeah.
I feel like she'll probably get more than I'm thinking.
I think she'll have a decent run, but like the way they're presenting Over the Tie is like a lot of interference and weapons and all that. I feel like she'll get a lot of DQ losses just to compensate, but she's gonna win a decent amount, but I don't think she's gonna do that well points wise.
You think she has that Samoa Joe Bound for Glory run where he had like -3 points because he kept getting himself DQ'd? I like that a lot, actually. People joke about that Battle for Glory run, but it was cool seeing Joe DQ himself and then intentionally sabotaging the rest of the fucking bracket by just beating people up. I feel like Natsuko could do that this year. I feel like she could.
I think it would fit like with the character to go, like, I don't give a fuck. I don't like any of you. You don't get to enjoy anything.
I think that works. I think like her, like, we'll see where she gets, and then at some point in the bracket, she goes, okay, I can't win. Okay, then y'all can't win. So that's what she'll kind of go for. I like that, actually works really well for Natsuko. That'd be interesting. Saki, though, I have no idea what she does in this bracket because, like I said, I feel like she'll break out maybe one big, revival maybe, but like I'm not sure if she wins a lot of these.
Saki is pretty much the guaranteed spoiler entrance. Like, she'll spoil the five star for someone. I think her last match of the five star. I think she's beaten Momo like almost every time. I think she gets the revival on her, guaranteed. I think she'll also get the revival on Shuri. And I don't know if she'll get like a upset on anyone else, but she's definitely just there to be a spoiler.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. She's that's definitely her point, which is, you look at the bracket and like, especially because of how strong Donna Del Mondo has been booked over the last, 6 months or so, 8 months, Shuri and Micah being in the bracket, somebody's got to take some losses. You think Micah takes
Micah? Oh yeah. She's pretty much the rookie of the group. So, and she's pretty much the rookie of the entire block. So I think she definitely takes a lot of losses in here just to even it out a bit.
Yeah. So who did you say you had? Momo coming out Blue Star.
Yeah, I have Momo coming out Blue Star.
I can agree with that. I think that'd be pretty dope. Let's look at Red Stars. We have Mayu, Julia, Tom, Konami, Starlight Kid, Saya, Death Yamasan, and Jumbo. Do you think it's stronger than Blue Stars?
I think the Blue Stars, like I said this last year, but ended up being the opposite. But I think Blue Stars definitely has the stronger like workers in that block. I think Red Stars is a little I think with Starlight Kid and Psycomatani, it just kind of brings it down a bit. They're not bad, but like they're not at the same level as, say, Azumi and Micah.
Looking at the rest of it here, I think Momo, Tommy, and Jungle are just a really good trio. I guess the big trio on Red would be Julia, Mayu, and Konami, really. Tom kind of bringing up the rear. I don't see any way that Konami doesn't win Red Stars. Honestly,
like I really tried hard not to make it like Konami wins, but I don't see
Konami wins for it.
I tried really hard to just like actually do it really unbiased, but like I don't see her losing a lot. I don't see her losing the block. I don't think Mai or Julia are winning the block at all, because champions winning the block, probably never happening. Until Julia just wins it.
I mean, I definitely thought for a minute when I was looking this over, I'm like, does Julia just steamroll this?
My backup, if it's not Konami, it would most likely be Tam, because she's another person that they're definitely putting a rocket on. Like, she's been featured so much in the past 8 months, whether it be promotional material, dreams, big profile matches. I definitely have her as the secondary to win this if it's not Konami.
Yeah, what about that alley brawl between her and Julia? Now, that was some riveting stuff right there.
I said a piece about this on Twitter. I've had a little think about it. It's stardom. It's what I expected at the end of the day. It's like,
what would have been really good? This is what they should have done. They should have videotaped it, and then at the very end, he flips the camera, and oh my god, it's Rossi.
The Rossi cam.
That would have really just brought it all together. Now that would have been a Stardom video. That's what I expect, man. That is ingrained in my brain forever. I could quit watching wrestling forever tomorrow and I would still remember that.
The best part of that video was that they made it look like Mario was filming it.
They put both their hands up. Yeah, that was tough, man. Oh, that was tough. What a time. There are some things that we have seen that will never be unseen again. So when I look at this bracket, like I like the Julia stuff. You know, I don't think I've seen too much of her matching up with these other people. So it'll be interesting to kind of see what she kind of plays through with, like, you know, her against Jumbo would be pretty interesting, I think. I feel like that's a pretty good matchup. I feel like Death Yama-san takes a lot of the pins here. I feel like she's going to probably be a pin person.
Death Yama-san, definitely a pin person, but I think she's the one who's going to play the spoiler to Julia's 5-star, I think. Because Julia and Yama-san are on the last day. I think Yama-san's getting the pin there over Julia and denying her from that 5-star victory.
God, that'd be
makes
awesome.
Sense. Julia, this year, she's
ripped, dude. She's huge.
She's ripped.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. I'm like, whoa, dude.
Like, if we compared when we saw her in January to now, she's insane.
She's shredded. I was like, whoa. They had, like, a magazine picture of her with the belt, and she was, like, turned around. I'm like, oh, my God. Her lat spread is crazy, man. She's insane.
Yeah, exactly. Julia, her singles matches, like, in Storm so far, we had the Hannah match, which was all right. You, like most people liked it. I personally, because I've explained before live events on it, but like her Cinderella tournament was very meh.
I don't think that. I think, like, the Cinderella was just kind of weak all around.
Yeah.
There was there was some good stuff here and there, you know, sprinkled throughout. But like, yeah, overall, it's just kind of, I just wasn't super into it this year.
Yeah. I think a lot of that is just like, actually he was in the crowd this year, but he wasn't allowed to chant. So.
God, yeah, dude. Am I ever going to get to watch a good Cinderella?
The format of the Cinderella doesn't really tend to a lot of good matches, but like short matches aren't inherently bad, but like I don't think the Stardom format benefits from the short matches. Definitely like to go for the New Japan big epic style where they do these long matches a bit.
They definitely are now, aren't they?
Yeah, that 28-minute match between Julia and Tam.
Ugh.
I have not watched that yet, but
sheesh, man, like I'm seeing 20, I'm seeing 25, 26, 27, 30 a lot recently throughout these results. I'm like, oh, wow, that's something.
Yeah, there's that 30-minute QQ versus DDM match that everybody is raving about, except for me.
I'll watch it and I'll tell you. I haven't watched it yet, but yeah. I mean, I've made it known that I'm not. I don't know. Like going a 30-minute draw before the main. It was just an interesting decision on their part.
I watched the whole show like in one sitting. That 30-minute draw really took me out of the main event.
I feel like it would for most people. That's what I was getting at. I feel like it, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people can watch it like that. But yeah, I mean, like, you probably just went through I'm sure that match had a ton of high spot double down stuff. And I think I saw a screenshot of it where everyone was down at one point. So it's like, I feel like there was just a lot of emotion in that one to go into the main where it's supposed to be, you know, like this is Jungle in her hometown. And that's supposed to, I'm sure they wrestled a pretty, you know, emotional driven match too. It's just a lot all at once, you know.
I think that's that 8-man tag definitely should have been a little earlier in the card just so that people could reset for the main event, but it's happened already and I guess it is there. Just people enjoy it or people don't, I guess.
I guess I'll reset it. I'll watch the tag and then I'll go do something else and I'll come back and then I'll watch the main. That's what I'll do. Maybe then I'll like it. I'll be cool with it. So Red Stars, you have who? Konami?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Konami, but
Konami versus Momo would be your finals.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good match.
That's a match that they've pretty much avoided making for a long time. Like, their only singles match was a Cinderella tournament match where Konami won by having Momo run over the top of the rope.
Oh my god, that was... Oh wow, I totally forgot about that. You're right. Yeah, Konami and Momo would be. If they gave him, you know... I think that'd be dope. I actually agree with you. I think that would be... Of course, my heart prediction would be Jungle Kiona wins the Blue Stars, and then, you know, Konami versus Jungle would be pretty dope.
If Jungle Kirin didn't have that title match in Nagoya like this past month, I definitely would have predicted it'll win the 5-star, but
got played again.
Yeah. That pretty much made them rethink she's not winning the 3 stars or 5-star because like they got to run Mayu versus Kirino again, and I don't think people would enjoy Kirino losing twice because I don't see Kirino winning the rematch.
If you had to pick 5 people from this tournament that you're looking out for, or like you're looking forward to their matches, who would they be?
So Konami, Momo, like I'm not going to say them because they're obviously ones I'm always going to look forward to. They're probably going to be really good to watch. For Dark Horses, I'd say Def Yama-san, because honestly, she's probably top 5 in Stardom, like in terms of in-ring. But since she's a freelancer and has a more comedy-esque character, she's a little more low on the card. But
yeah,
she's definitely one of the better workers in the company and might actually bring out some of the best matches in the tournament. Himeka is a very interesting... We haven't seen a lot of her since she just debuted two months ago. In Actress Girls, she was really good. Her appearances in Ice Ribbon were really good. I think she has a lot of good matchups here against Mayu, Konami. She had a decent match against Saya like this past month. Def Yama-san versus Himeka is like a David versus Goliath, and those are always fun to watch. Maika is definitely one to watch out for. She's, like I said, like multiple times here, she has extremely high ceiling. She's probably going to bring out some of the best matches in the blue block. And Azumi, as usual, because her high speed is going to clash a lot with a lot of the more striking or power like fighters in this block. And it's going to be really interesting to see.
I have, Momo, obviously. I feel like she is it just incredible. Jungle, of course, because she's number one. She's number one. Azumi, I think you can never count her out of anything. Like they could book her into the ground and I'd still probably tell you tomorrow that I think she's gonna win whatever she does next, just because she she's just so convincing. Honestly, she believes in herself and it translates to her performances, and I think that's probably the most interesting thing about her, to be honest, is that she has just this confidence that radiates no matter what she's doing. Shuri is flat out just incredible. And I am excited for the Momo match. And I'm excited to see what she does against everybody else in this block. You know, Jungle Kiona is going to be a good matchup for her, Utami. I think that's going to be some fun stuff. Sometimes I feel like when you get to a striker versus a power wrestler, sometimes they don't mesh very well, but I think she'll mesh well with everyone here. And I'm just excited to see Shuri. And then of course, Jumbo I want to see her obliterate everybody. I guess they're kind of playing her up as like, from what I saw, they're putting her in matches with people on the lower end of stuff like Saeed and stuff, right? That's how they're kind of booking her right now.
Yeah, but I think she's definitely going to be dark horse in the tournament. I think she's definitely going to rack up some wins here.
Yeah, I think this is a good chance to really put her on the board. I agree with you. I think that's a really good thing for them to do because she's just different. She's just different than a lot of people, and I think she'll have a really good tournament here. I hope that the 5-star this year, I hope that one, I can keep up with it, because that is always, I think that's most people in general, is trying to keep up with this thing, and you can get away from you really quick. You miss one night, then you miss 3 nights, and then that's a whole mess.
Exactly.
On paper, this looks really good. This just looks like a really good tournament.
It does.
So I have, like I said, I have Konami. I just kind of imagine that's the way that they want to go with it. TCS doesn't have any belts right now, right?
Yeah, TCS doesn't have belts. Odetai doesn't have belts. Everyone else does.
Yeah, so I mean, nobody in TCS has belts. And like, I feel like Kiona's, as much as I fucking can't stand that she is just a good hand in Stardom, God, my blood boils just thinking about that. But I mean, that's kind of her position right now. I feel like they could, like, I don't want to say this makes Konami, but I feel like winning this here makes Konami.
I think she definitely needs like something credible under her belt, because last year, runner up both tournaments, she had a decent tag belt run with Kirino, but she hasn't really done anything that's made her like a credible singles threat, like completely, which I think she's due for, because especially this past year, she's definitely stepped up. I think she's probably reaching the upper rings of like being one of the best wrestlers in Stardom right now.
So let's go ahead and put it down, Pat. Winner, who is it?
This is a tough one, because I could see Momo or Konami taking this, but I'm regretfully going to have to pick Konami this year.
Oh no, I can't believe it. Unbelievable news here. So I also put Konami, and I also put, my heart tells me Jungle Kiona, please, I'm begging you, man. Somebody, please.
One day.
One day, that's the one string of hope I got. I keep pulling on it. Eventually, it's just going to come out. Anyways, let's talk about the Tokyo Princess Cup a little bit.
So they've also had like a little shake up in the roster. They've got some new people coming in. They've had Yuna Manase going out to become a more freelance esque wrestler. She's coming back at the startup for like the Yokohama shows. She's coming back for Actress Girls as well, so.
Yeah, she left TJPW and she just said, I'm going everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. Though she's officially signed to Ganbury, which is another DDT group, so she's pretty much like a sidestep there.
Yeah, I saw that. That was an interesting decision on her end.
I guess the idea is like she remains with the DDT like family, but since Ganbury don't run as much as TJPW, she can take bookings outside with other companies like Stardom, Actress Girls, maybe like Ice Ribbon.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. I actually didn't even think about it like that. But yeah, you're right. I guess that is a way to look at it. So last year, the Tokyo Princess Cup 6 finals were Yuna Manase versus Mizuki, which probably one of my favorite matches of last year, to be completely honest with you. I thought that they played out a really, really good match. It got real emotional towards the end. I thought that Yuna was going to run away with it, but they didn't go that way. Of course, yeah. They never, you know, she had a really strong match in the finals last year. And then they didn't follow up on her. They kind of just let her play it out and just joined Mina and and Kamiyu and they just kind of hung out, you know, and they did Cat's Pie and it was fun. Don't get me wrong. But and then they didn't invite her to the American tour. I don't know. I feel like maybe that is a little bit probably why she wanted to do something else. Do you think that's
Yeah, I think they definitely did have like high aspirations for her, even though that she was definitely one of the best workers in the company. Like, she could have a good match with anyone.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think just because she was definitely like on the older side of things, they didn't really want to put a lot of faith in her, even though she always delivered. Just a strange way of booking her, even despite her quite obvious talent.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what they were. And I guess you're right, maybe the age thing a little bit, but even then, I feel like they could have, you know, giving her that run, at least throughout the year. It's a real weird situation. I mean, Mizuki, I don't know if she needed the win over her in the first place to really challenge for anything. You know, I mean, I don't feel like Mizuki needed to, I don't think she needed to win the Princess Cup to challenge anything. I feel like she could have just challenged, you know, because I feel like she's on the upper echelon anyways, most of the time. She usually roams around the top anyways. I feel like that could have been a really good moment to make Yuna, but I hope whatever she does next is good, because she's, like you said, I agree, she is a really, really good worker. They have a lot of people in this tournament this year.
They do.
They have so many people that some people have to face people in the first round. That's kind of crazy to think about. That's it's crazy. You want to let's run down this participants list real quick. Yuka Sakazaki, we have Rika, Miyu, Shoko, Miyu, Maki, Natsumi Maki, we have Mizuki, we have Hyper Misao, we have Tenmo, we have Yuki Aino, Hikari Noah, Raku, Yuki, Mina, Haruna, Pom, Mahiro. Himawari came back and she looks crazy. I mean, her look right now is she's crazy. Mirai and Suzume. So we have a really, really big tournament right now. Unagi making a pretty big return in her first match. I'm just happy she's back because it felt like she was out forever.
Yeah, she was out for when we were in Japan as well.
Yeah, so, yeah, I remember seeing her at the merch table.
There's some matches here that are really interesting to see, like the Miyu up girl, like Gauntlet. She's going to face like Raku and then Hikari. And then we have on the other side, we have like Mirai versus Miyu, which should be a really good power fight. There's like a lot of interesting matches here.
Yeah, I'm actually, to be honest with you, I feel like TJPW had a pretty damn good year so far. I feel like they've been doing a lot of really fun stuff. Every time I tune into their shows, I'm always having a good time. I feel like they're booking a lot of people really strong. And like, honestly, this tournament is pretty up in the air when it comes to who wins, to be honest. I personally have down Natsumi Maki just because I feel like this will be like the tournament for her to finally like make her statement that she's, you know, I feel like she's in another position like that, kind of like Konami in a way, where like she needs that one thing, you know?
Yeah, she's definitely been booked strongly. I have the same thought. I think she's pretty much running away with the tournament. I really don't see anyone else here that probably could take it. Maybe Mizuki again, but don't know if they'll do back-to-back wins for her.
My heart wants Mirai to come through and dominate this bracket and destroy everybody and be number one, but you know.
I'd say she has a really easy bracket, actually. She has Miyu, who has a tag champ. I think she has the potential to upset her. And then after that, she has either Unagi, Yuki, or Maki Ito, and
I feel like it'll probably be Ito.
I think it's gonna be Ito or Kamiyu.
Yeah, she is kind of she's getting booked pretty strong recently.
Yeah, I think Kamiyu definitely has a stronger stake this year than last year. I think Maki's fallen off a bit, even though she's still really good.
I mean, on the other side of things, Hikari Noah looks really good this year.
Yeah, she's been insanely good this year. It's crazy.
Yeah, I actually could see her. I mean, it would be really cool to see Pandemic Boo Boo have kind of go into the finals. You know, that'd be pretty dope.
Yeah, because for January 4th, I was definitely predicting Hikari versus Natsumi Maki before Natsumi Maki got injured. Her match at the January 4th show, I rewatched it, and that was actually really, really good. Still probably not my match of the show for that card, but she put a really strong performance there against Ito.
That wasn't your match? That wasn't your January 4th? Was it the Maki match?
It's Sari versus Natsumi Maki. You know,
yeah,
that was my match.
I know
of the
what
show.
The damn match did. I don't know, man. I thought that Noah and Ito was just, oh my God. That match was just, wow, what a just a performance, honestly. Just out of nowhere, I just thought that was just really, really good shit. But yeah, I mean, like that's how I see this going. I feel like, you know, you look at the rest of the crowd. I feel like everyone's been... The thing is here with TJPW is, like, I feel like booking-wise, they've just had a really good run recently where, like, everyone, whether they're being booked super strong or not, is believable in some sense, which is yeah, a really good thing for them. Even down to, like, Raku, who has just been having... You know, I mean, I feel like she's been getting the book pretty well recently. And I mean, she's pretty credible now for the most part.
Yeah, I think everyone in this tournament has the potential to upset someone. And that's a really good strength of TJPW with how they booked everyone.
Natsumi Maki is definitely your favorite here, right?
Yeah, I think this is definitely Natsumi Maki's tournament to win. I could see Mizuki, like I said before, Mizuki, I could see like having a back-to-back winner, but at the same time, I don't see them having a back-to-back winner, but she's always going to be a favorite. But
you know, with Yuka being the champion, I feel like Mizuki could just challenge her.
Yeah, she definitely just could.
Yeah, I feel like she could just, like, you know, go eat their hamburger steak.
I will simply,
like,
just challenge
like
you.
Yeah, exactly. I honestly feel like that's exactly what they're going to do, period. I feel like Mizuki might, I feel like she'll probably get far in this tournament. She won't win. But at some point, because I still feel like Yuka's going to keep the title for a while. She'll probably keep it throughout the rest of the year, or at least towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
And she'll probably, I don't think she'll beat Yuka, but I feel like, you know, she'll have a match with her and it'll be good because they're both just top tier talent. But I don't think she needs the tournament. Like I said, I agree with you that Natsumi Maki is one tournament win away from being like super credible in TJPW. I feel like she already is, but she's in that stage where she needs that one thing that they can refer to. And I think this is probably it for her. I would like to see Natsumi Maki versus Hikari Noah, period, in the finals. That would be what I would like to see on the right side of the bracket. That would be a perfect tournament for me to have that happen. Left side, I would like to see Mirai go to the end, to be honest with you. And then whoever they decide on the other side, they want to, whether it's Mizuki or Yuki Aino, who they've been booking kind of strong recently too. I would like to see Mirai go to the end, just because I feel like since January 4th, they've been, I mean, maybe not like super crazy, but they definitely have been putting a lot more into her.
Yeah, she had that match with that six-man tag with Aja Kong where she just got into Aja Kong's face and just wanted to fight her.
Yeah, that She's made definitely... her immediately. That gave her credibility immediately, and I feel like since that point she's really been on an upswing, and I can see it happening.
Yeah, I definitely see it. She definitely has the potential to upset a lot of people in this tournament. Like, I can see her upset Miyu, I can see her upset Maki Ito, I can see her upset Kamiyu, I can see her upset Unagi. I think she definitely has she's definitely gonna have a strong tournament this year if she makes it past the first round.
I kind of wish Hikari Noah was on the other side, so the finals would have been Noah versus Maki, just because, yeah, I feel like if they do face, that'll probably be the best match of the tournament, and that's gonna happen before the finals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mizuki versus Natsumi Maki would be really good too, but there's just more riding on Hikari Noah versus Natsumi Maki. I think maybe they might have done that just so it's not like a, you know, super obvious beforehand, this is what's happening sort of thing, but sometimes you can just do that in wrestling. It's okay.
Yeah, sometimes the most obvious, like, booking is probably the best booking. Like, you don't always need everything to be a surprise.
Yeah, I agree. I actually really agree with that. I think sometimes we get stuck up on and making something a surprise that we forget that sometimes the best stories are the ones that just go from the beginning to the end.
Exactly.
So we both I think, have Natsumi Maki winning this, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've both had the same opinions of both tournaments.
Something ain't right here.
Something's in the water.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the Catch the Wave for a minute here. Lots of tournaments going on right now.
Yeah, everyone's just catching up just because they had to, everyone had to take that long break. So they're just getting everything out of the way now. So it's a summer of tournaments so far.
Yeah, I love tournaments. They invigorate me. So I'm very happy.
So Catch the Wave this year, like every year, they changed the format a bit. This year, they're doing two blocks. The young block, which will consist of who they consider young, be it rookies or by age. And then the veteran block. And there's 18 people in the tournament total, so it's gonna be 9 per block. Every match is gonna be a triple threat wave rules match.
Time limit is 1 hour a match.
1 hour a match. Yes. So we're gonna have like 4 triple threats per block, and it's probably gonna be extremely good. They haven't announced anyone in the tournament. I think the only thing they've announced is Nagisa Nozaki will not be in the tournament because she doesn't want to be involved with it. She wants to face whoever wins, I think.
What do you think of her new attire?
It's so fluffy.
It is so fluffy. I love it. Where do you like, stand on the little braid thingies?
I don't hate
don't
it.
Don't say the wrong answer.
I don't hate it, but I'm not super into it at the same time.
That's
it's just kind
the
of there
wrong
for me.
Answer. The right answer is you love them and you want to protect them in the number one and you love them so much. God, I love those things. Man, she fucking rules, dude. She's just incredible. She just beats people up.
Like,
she does her hair how she wants to do it. She's got fluffy gear. She's the best ever.
Like, there's definitely like a debate on whether she's good or not. Like, I've seen both sides. There's people who absolutely hate her. There's people
They're
who
on the
absolutely
wrong side.
Love her.
Yeah, that's the right side.
I'm just
yeah,
here
agreed.
I'm just here in the middle because I don't have any strong feelings towards her, but I do enjoy her matches.
Yeah, baby. Pump kick, pump kick, pump kick, Noir Lancer. Let's get it. That's that kind of match right there. That's what I'm talking about. That's the good stuff. So this is, what, two blocks. Like you said, young wrestlers, veteran wrestlers, 18 people. Every match is a triple threat. All right, can you tell me who you think is going to win and why it's a Yumi Hayashi, baby? Let's go.
With Wave, like, they have a relatively small roster, so they're going to bring in a lot of talent from, like, other promotions, so you might see some from Seedling, from Ice Ribbon, maybe Marvelous. It's hard to predict what you don't actually know who's going to be in it.
May Saruga will probably be in this, you think?
I'm not sure if May's going to do any outside bookings from Choco Pro, because they're having this like kind of strict kind of rules with Choco Pro booking, because a lot of the roster live with like older people, and with the coronavirus, especially in Japan right now, lately, it's been spiking up a lot.
Yeah, I've heard
that. I think they're trying to avoid like doing outside shows and maybe possibly contracting it and then passing it on to everyone else.
Right.
So she's probably not going to be in it because there was a Sendai Girls rookie tournament that she had to pull out of just for that reasoning.
Oh, is that why she pulled out of it?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the reason why.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see her being in that tournament. I think Suzu Suzuki will be in this tournament because she's been appearing a lot lately in Wave. Like, she appeared twice like recently in Wave. She's definitely a strong contender to win the tournament. At the same time, I don't know like the restrictions on what young is, because like I said, it could be either rookies or like actual age.
Right.
So they could pull out like Miyuki Takase is also in this block. So that adds another element of like who's winning this block, because Takase is the At Girls Girls champion.
Yeah.
I think right now.
Yeah, she is.
So I just can't really predict it without knowing who's in it, but
you think Suzu beats Mayuki? You think she goes into this tournament with the belt?
I don't think so.
No?
I just don't see her winning it right now, especially with like COVID crowds.
I mean, the young wrestlers block is really up in the air, like you said. I think there's a lot of people that can lose to a Yumi Hayashi. I think it'll be a real good tournament for her. And I mean, I just can't imagine her losing this. The veteran on the other, and I'm glad that you agree with that sentiment too. But the veteran block is a little more up in the air, especially with who's in it, right? I assume it's most of the Wave roster as is, and then a couple other people.
Yeah, I could see like Suka maybe. Risa Sarah, maybe? I don't know. It's just like...
Yeah, just Ice Ribbon people. I mean,
yeah,
yeah.
I just don't know who's going to be in it. So, like I said, it's really hard to predict if you don't know who's in it. But I'm definitely interested to see like how it plays out, because Catch the Wave is usually really, really fun.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get to catch some of the videos for They're Off the Internet Forever and I'll never find them ever again.
They've been really good with uploading shows now, so...
Yeah, I actually watched some of the live streams they've been doing recently. They're pretty, I mean, they're not the best ever, but I'll take them. They're better than the 10 FPS ice ripping joints, so I'll take that.
I've heard that they've improved on that, but also Nico is still trash.
I love
Nico for like providing all these shows, but God, their quality is trash.
But at least, I mean, like I said, Wave on them live streams do be going. Diana started live streaming some of their stuff too.
Like everyone's getting it. Like Actress Girls has their own streaming service now. Like,
yeah,
everyone's capitalizing right now.
That's some good shit. I feel like visibility has become a big thing since COVID hit. People just trying to make sure people can see these promotions, you know, especially with people sitting at home. I feel like that's just been like a priority for most people. I mean, Gato Move 2 is just making sure that things are still happening.
Yeah, Gato Move has pretty much been the best at like wrestling for the entire COVID period. Like they have weekly, maybe sometimes daily streams, wrestling like all the time, and the actual like shows are like the stories in them are really, really interesting. Like we had this big Mitsuru, like I'm done with this shit. Like this, how everyone else
I
here.
Love it.
This is how I wrestle. This
drink
is how...
some beer, raise some hell. Yeah, I'm all. That's what I'm down for, man. I think the chat adds a lot to it. I think it's a really fun time for everybody. It is absolutely hilarious to have Bali and Aki just sitting there with the fucking camera and going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I can't believe. it's a fun time for everybody, I think.
Like, if you haven't actually caught a show of Chocobro, you should definitely catch one now. They're on YouTube, although no paywall. You could just go into YouTube, go to their channel, you'll watch it.
Yeah, come join us on Discord too. Sometimes we're talking during them too. It's fun. It's a good time. We have the lettuce army and then the beer army and then they go head to head. You gotta choose a side.
And the lettuce child always wins.
Lettuce child wins forehead. I hate it. I hate it here. At least Mizuru won season 2 MVP. Shouts out. All right. Well, I think that about sums up everything here that we wanted to talk about. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Probably not. I think that's pretty much everything we need
drink
to talk about.
Water. Don't forget to drink water. There you go. That's a good thing to
wear a mask.
Yes, wear your mask. Don't touch people. Stay 6 feet away from people. Please help us get back to wrestling shows and having good times with people. Just, you know, don't be a dick.
We want to go back to Japan. We couldn't do
Please.
It because of COVID. Let us go back to Japan. So be as safe as possible so that this goes away as soon as possible. It's been 8 months of this hell. I haven't left the house in 6 months. I haven't had a haircut. My hair's down to my face. It's just awful.
So yes, wear your mask, drink some water, be nice to people, and enjoy pro wrestling. Be sure to check out the final ballots here for Big Fight Feel to get in the 2019 year-end awards. Like I said, they'll be in the description. If you can, if they're still up, I don't know when you're listening to this, you can participate in the 5-star Grand Prix Pick'ems. We're probably going to have some pretty cool prizes for that. I think I might get some of those acrylic standees and give those away whenever I decide to make that order. I was going to last night and I looked at my order. I'm like, that's a lot of money that I'm about to spend right now. So I got to figure out
it's better than when you could never get them because they sold out like in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I remember asking about it. Like, yeah, they're sold out. Oh, okay. Well, that's great. They just went out like 5 minutes ago.
I remember like waking up, going to place my order like an hour before. Come back an hour later, sold out. You didn't get any. I was like,
I hate it here.
Why did they not stock any of these?
I might just get one of all of them, to be honest.
I'm just getting the classic of Konami, and that's it.
You're going to get 5 of them like Tony?
I don't need 5 of them, to be honest.
Well, I'm sure Tony doesn't either, but he already made that decision, so I think maybe you should follow suit.
I have no space as it is. I've got too many DVDs that I've been buying.
I forgot you were buying all those DVDs. How's that going?
I almost got the entire 2015 to 2016 Reina collection.
Where are you getting
it's
them from?
The Reina store. It's really... The price adds up. Like
I bet.
It's like 2,000 yen each. And then I've got like, 20 of them. I spent ungodly amounts on them. This is what happens when I can't go out to shows and all that.
He has to get his fix somehow. You are making him spend money. Wash your hands. Wash your hands, damn it. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to Big Fight Feel. This was episode number 10. Thank you, Sprite, for joining me. It's a fun time.
Oh, it's a great time being on.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Yeah. Like I said, check out those things, and hopefully you'll be here next time. Have a good one.